This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book.
Looking for a good book? Then get over to Miami Avenue Book Nook in Indian Rocks Beach. Check out the latest books from local authors like Angela Hunt, who wrote the book for the film Risen, or Bonsu Brenvick, whose books preserve the memories of the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel. What do you enjoy reading? A thriller? A romance? How about a mystery or a sci-fi? At the Book Nook, you'll find it all. Remember, one of the joys of life is to read. Located in Indian Rocks Beach, look for the blue building with the mermaid on the side on the corner of Miami Avenue and 2nd Street, two blocks south of the post office. Open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, noon to 4. And don't forget, while you're there, check out Miami Avenue's great collection of Florida wines, local art, and fantastic gifts. Miami Avenue Book Nook, where you will be inspired to read.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with a guest in the studio, Daniel Noy. Hi, Daniel.
Hi.
Okay, well, I'm so happy to have you on, and we're going to be talking about your fantastic sci-fi book, The Spider, The Witch, and The Spaceship, which is, I know, available on Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about, well, first of all, a little bit about yourself. I know that you've been interested in sci-fi and writing for a long time. Tell us about yourself.
It started in elementary school. I had a project. I was supposed to write a short story in fifth grade, and it just kept rambling and rambling, and I never finished it. But it gave me all these ideas, and I started thinking, wouldn't it be nice to make an action movie? And then it was in sixth grade. I met my friend Ryan at the bus stop. And we were just playing out scenes at the bus stop out of Star Trek: The Next Generation, which I watched religiously back then, and but eventually we just started making our own ideas and started thinking, well, this should be a television show. But then by the time he moved away, when I entered high school, I was already starting to think. Even at that time, I actually really liked the writing, because something about bringing out the movement of three-dimensional objects in text, that was just, I like that. It's like an art form.
So it fascinated you, seeing the written word.
Yeah.
And the idea for this book, now I really enjoy this. It's, as I said, it's called The Spider, The Witch, and The Spaceship. And tell us a little bit about the character. The main character, name is Nathaniel.
Yeah.
And
it's Nate when he's an adult.
Nate when he's an adult.
Yeah.
And it's a look into your mind. I it's fascinating where you got all of the ideas, because it is another reality, another world. And so what do you want to tell about the book? What do you want people to know?
Well, it's about this guy named Nate, who he finds himself living in this psychological healthcare facility, and he doesn't know how he got there. He starts to have these childhood memories of like this really fantastical stuff. Like, he remembers being a dinosaur, and he remembers flying around in spaceships and living stuffed animals called Grooshlings. So he's told that he has he's told that he has something wrong with his brain, so that he can't remember real things, but it becomes fantasized versions of those things, but he starts to wonder. There's little clues that maybe the memories are actually real, but what he's been doing is shifting from one parallel universe to another.
Ah,
so there's kind of a mystery through the whole thing.
And it is, because he could be exactly doing that, because he goes from different place to different place, including, I liked particularly the planet Candy. That was that's a fun place to stop off.
Definitely a good place to visit if you're ever in the area.
Exactly. I think there's some of your love for some of the foods there, like chocolate and can you tell us about Planet Candy?
Well, it's made out of candy, for one, and the people and the plants and the animals are all candy. It's bioengineered, although I don't get into those details in there. It's just kind of mentioned that everything's got a very high sugar content, and yet somehow it's alive. Again, I don't really get into the biology.
Yeah,
much
well, you don't have to, because it's a kind of planet that everybody wants to visit. I think it's you don't gain any weight. You just munch away on everything that you find there, right?
I guess so. Especially now if you're young Nathaniel, he's a dromaeosaur, which is same family as that's the family velociraptors are a part of. High metabolism, like birds.
And so he can just eat his way through the entire planet. And you know what I liked, you use a word in your book, you use a nice word, you say dizzyish, and dizzyish looks really nice. I hadn't ever seen anyone write dizzy with a ish at the end, and dizzyish is exactly, it's a great description for your book, because you go from place to place, and it is sort of a dizzying kind of experience of what's happening really to Nate, Nathaniel, or as you say, a dromaeosaur, who has the green feathers, right?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's interesting. And then what he sees in all of these different places that he goes. You have a very vivid and very extravagant imagination.
Yeah, I was trying to capture the elements of childhood, at least what I remember from it, and definitely dizzyish is a word I would have made up if I had the chance. Well, I did eventually when I was older, but
yeah.
In the book. Yeah. But, you know, it's basically they don't know the whole language. So they just make up. Well, that works, you know.
Yeah.
If you get dizzy, you're dizzyish.
I think it's a word that should just go straight to the dictionary, because it should. I mean, it's so descriptive. And I think we've all, if we're lucky enough to have the ability to imagine something fantastic and otherworldly, and imagine going from place to place, it is a dizzyish kind of feeling, and I think it's a great word. So what do you want to talk a little bit, how the spider, the witch, the spaceship, all sort of where those ideas come from?
Well, that was actually an interesting story in and of itself, because I see since sixth grade, I've been having loads of ideas for just an ongoing series of Nate and his friend Derek, and there's just hundreds and hundreds of ideas. I'm like, I can't turn these all into novels in a lifetime, and I couldn't even finish the first one. I had a hard time for a while trying to finish anything, and so finally I decided, well, I just have to start the series somewhere. And I decide, well, let's start at the beginning. And that's where I started doing the flashbacks first, based on Nate's early life as Nathaniel. And then I started thinking, well, it's not that interesting by itself. What if it was a frame start? These are actually flashbacks. And then there are clues about how the universe changed, how he became human, and all this other stuff. And my working title was In the Beginning. And then my father says, you know what, that's a terrible title. Why don't you call it something like The Spider, the Witch, and the Spaceship? You know, sounds like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe kind of thing. It's catchy. And I was like, yeah, that's a good title, but yes, there's a spaceship in it, but there's no witch, and there's no spider. Oh, yeah, well, there is a small part that there's a spider, and suddenly it hit me. And I knew what the last chapter would be and how it would tie all three together. The witch is revealed in the last chapter. The spaceship is revealed, who the spaceship is. And the spider starts out with a very small part, ends up playing a major role in the last chapter. And it kind of ties it all together.
And that came from your father's suggestion?
Yeah, just from the title. He can't come up with the title. And then I came up with why the title was appropriate.
Well, It is actually a perfect title, and your father is so clever, and I'm sure he will want royalties for this because...
No.
Well,
I don't know about that, but I think it is a very clever title. And as you said, I was so intrigued with the idea, and as I'm reading, I'm also wondering, you know, where is the title coming in? And I was so happy with... I love all parts of the book, but I thought when you got to the ending of the book, whoa, that really grabbed me. I really enjoyed all of how you wrapped it all up. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah. It either will explain everything or you'll just be left more confused than ever. It's one or the other.
Well, exactly. So, but it doesn't matter because by that point you've really enjoyed yourself through the whole book. So, and it's, as I said, you because of the way you look at things and you're looking through, you know, Nathaniel's eyes as a child at why there's a lot in there about learning why you do things or why you sort of behavioral things like good manners and all of this that you bring in. It's funny how you explain, you know, why there are rules, I guess we could say it.
That's basically what I remember from childhood. I exaggerated a little bit to make a point.
Yeah.
But you know,
but that's what you're supposed to do in a really fun book. So, but tell us a little bit where you get that idea about explaining why we do or how kids are given rules, I guess.
Oh, I mean, just in general, it seems like adults in general, not just my parents, but like teachers and in general, they expect you to already know what they want. They don't explain themselves. It's just like, you know, you're punished now. and teachers are the same way. And I think sometimes you should try to explain things first. And I even see this when I'm out in public. I'll be sitting at McDonald's and the next table kid does something and, oh, I gotta go closer.
Yeah, a little closer.
I don't know. Kid walks under a table and the parent just like gets after her, says, yeah, don't do that. Why? Never explains it, you know, just don't do it because I said so.
And so Nathaniel learns a lot through all of this. And one of the sort of ongoing characters is the mommy and daddy in various forms.
Yeah.
So, but it's, I think it's a great, a great little book. And I think that, you know, for everyone out there, there's so much that sci-fi offers you when you're looking for something to read. I hadn't been a great sci-fi fan until a number of years back. I started reading it and I realized that it does, first of all, it opens your mind to a lot of different ideas because if you read books about everyday things, you're sort of thinking about everyday things, but sci-fi opens your mind up and you start thinking, well, why do these things exist? Exactly like, Nate writes about, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? And seeing things in a different perspective. And so I've become a great fan of sci-fi. And are you working on another book now?
Yeah, I definitely eventually want to get back to more traditional novels like I did already. But right at the moment, I got to get this other project out of the way. I'm working on at least a 4-year project. It's going to be a trilogy with what I call micro chapters. Like each book would have 212 micro chapters. They'd be between 1 and 5 pages long. And just because I have so many ideas of Nate's life, maybe a bit avant-garde for some people, you know, been like summary form like that. It's almost a short story or flash fiction, but just to get all that out, and then I can move on to the traditional stuff. I got all kinds of ideas for that. I'm working on a bunch of stuff simultaneously, actually.
Well, you're a fine writer. I went to your website, which is very, very nice, and we will talk about it because it's a great little site, and it's called theinkdoodler.com.
Yeah. Well, there's no the, and it just inkdoodler.com.
Inkdoodler.com. Yeah. And inkdoodler.com, you have a lot of your artwork, which I think is also very fine. You're a good, very good artist. And It's available for purchase, so anybody who wants to go to inkdoodler.com, you can buy some of Daniel's work, and I think it's really interesting. I'm going to buy something just to hang up on my wall because I really enjoy it. Well, I love dinosaurs too, and I can see where Dan's been involved.
I've got a dragon.
And dragon. Yeah, I saw that. And it's very, very nice work. And I wanted to just mention to Dan and to all of you who are interested in sci-fi that last Thursday I had Mike Resnick on, and I'm holding up his book. He was on last Thursday, and I just want to tell you, over the weekend he won several more awards, and I just can't keep up with him. I think he's won now maybe 200, 300 awards for science fiction. And the wonderful thing about Mike is that he is a great believer in helping young writers. And so he started an anthology series, a magazine called Galaxy's Edge. And it's online. You can get it at just galaxiesedge.com. And it's a wonderful source for anybody who's interested in sci-fi. First of all of the fiction is fantastic. I mean, it's just very, very well written. You can get a subscription to the. It's like a large size anthology magazine. You can get a subscription for $14.95. And so, anybody who's doing any work in sci-fi should be really reading these authors that are in these anthologies. What Mike does is he always has 4 to 6 famous science fiction writers, and then he has 4 to 6 not famous, unknown writers. And he likes to start people's careers. So if you have a short story, I suggest that you submit it to Galaxy's Edge. The contact information is there on the website. And I'm hoping that Daniel, when you have something available, that you'll submit something, because I know that just the minute I started reading your story, I was thinking to myself, whoa, Mike Resnick would like this. And that's a big compliment, because if he likes something, you'll find out that when somebody's won 200 awards in science fiction, he knows what he's talking about. So
I should hope so.
So I think that, it's wonderful that you've done this work, and I'm looking forward. As you said, it's going to be a couple of years, but as you do it in sort of layers, you do a little bit here at a time. When you have something ready to send in to Galaxy's Edge, I think it would be a wonderful opportunity for you to get something published.
Yeah, well, the micro chapters, any one of them could be turned into a novel, could be turned into a short story. I've actually had some people tell me that they actually would like to read something like I've described, where it's like 212 micro chapters, it's 1 to 5 pages each. Just Nate's life just goes on and on and on and on. He's got all this stuff.
Well, I think there is there is a market for, first of all, because so many people are reading things.
And they have shorter attention spans.
Exactly.
These days, yeah.
The short attention span. People read it now on their phones or on the iPads. And so they have only a limited time that they can read. So short is good nowadays. People are reading short. And there was a time where I think people had sort of gone off short stories altogether. But they're coming back in a big way. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for writers to get out there and get known, and then just to build their career from there. So I think that, you are well on your way, I think, with this book, and I hope that people will get it. It's called The Spider, The Witch, and The Spaceship, and it is available on Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And find out more at inkdoodler.com. Is more information about it, too.
Yes, and also, as I said, you have quite a few stories there, blog type of thing.
I've mostly doodles, but whatever random thought pops into my head ends up on there. So I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah. So it's a site worth visiting, and I think that
poetry too. I got some of that.
Oh yes, I forgot to mention that. So it's a wonderful site, and I think that all of my listeners, and I know I have so many who are now working on science fiction projects, and to read Daniel, I think, is an inspiration, and I really enjoy learning more about Nate, and I'm looking forward to reading 212, did you say?
Yeah, 212 microchapters per book. So
212.
Yeah, 636 for the whole trilogy.
636. Okay, why did you pick 212?
Because
is that a nice number for you?
Okay, well, this is...
Yeah, I need to know why. Otherwise, I'm going to be... For a week, I'm going to be...
Believe it or not, there's somewhat of a reason.
I needed to know because I was thinking to myself, if I don't ask him why 212, then for weeks, I'm going to be saying, why 212? What's the significance of that?
Well, it was, there was, oh, am I still not?
Well, we have to talk into the mic. Daniel likes to swing around these rolling chairs a little bit.
You're lucky I'm not up and pacing.
So, tell us the truth.
What happened was I had an idea several years ago for one of the adventures of Nate would be he would discover something called the weirdness quotient, which, just make it really simple, is... when you start time traveling, every time you land in the past, even if you're not overtly changing anything, just your very presence there sends really small changes that ripple through and end up when you're later, you land somewhere in the future, now things are slightly different. And it starts affecting your life, where you land, and stuff like that. So it becomes more and more exciting. And so time travelers, they find their lives gradually over sometimes hundreds of years, if they live long enough, get more and more and more weird in the sense that they are put in places of importance. You know, they're not just landing in one village and they're saving one village. They end up somewhere where their actions could affect the fate of the structure of reality itself sometimes. So... Nate finds himself in these more and more, and he looks back over his life and sees that, hey, my life's been getting, I've been getting more and more and more important here, and also some of the things, it's not just creatures, it's like really hard to describe stuff like temporal paradoxes and things, and so he figures out that this weirdness quotient is in effect, and he has a choice to make. He realizes one of two things is going to happen. Either his life is going to get weirder and weirder and weirder until the structure of reality itself breaks down and nothing makes sense anymore, which would be terrible. Or if he flips a switch, his life will peak and it'll start gradually getting more and more boring, which is also terrible. So, I won't get into the conclusion of that, how he actually solves the problem. But I started making this trilogy plan where one book is weirder than the next, and there's certain episodes needed to be, and there's other reasons too, but it would take forever to explain. But I needed different episodes in different books. And when I started counting up the number that would be in the middle book, I realized it was, I think, about 209 when I first counted it. And I wanted to, you know, give myself a little bit of a buffer, and I looked at, well, basically, so I decided I want them about the same length, and I didn't like the number 209, and I just...
Nah, 212 is great.
Yeah, I just picked 212. I actually, at first, was thinking, well, nice round number like 222, but then that would end up being 666, and someone would think that meant something when it doesn't.
Yeah.
So
212 is perfect, and I look forward to having you back on the program when you have 212. But right now, I just want to thank you for joining me today. It's been fun to talk to you, and it's Daniel Noy.
Yes.
And Ink Doodle.
Ink Doodler.
InkDoodler.com.
Yeah.
And have a look at his website. And just before I leave, I want to just remind everyone about Sebastian Roberts. It is his birthday tomorrow, and I had him on the program a few weeks ago. I love his book, The Dragonfly, which is a political book, the perfect book to get for this time period, and it's lots of fun, a great read. And so I would like everyone to go to Amazon and buy one of Sebastian Roberts' books. He has quite a few books, and they're all really lots of fun. And as a special gift to Sebastian, do a review, do an Amazon review. And this is the nicest thing that you can do for any writer that you know. Write a review on Amazon, and it helps them a lot. And I just want to wish Sebastian a very, very happy birthday. And I know that he'll be back on the program when he has his next book coming out. And again, and the same thing for Daniel Noy. Get his book and do a review on Amazon, because it helps. And everybody, every writer, independent writer, needs at least 50 reviews. And I know that so many of you read the books and then you sort of forget to write the review. But take a few minutes of time. It's a wonderful thing to do for somebody, and it means a lot to every writer to get a nice review on Amazon, and it helps their numbers. So I hope you'll do that. And now on Thursday, I have Irene Goodman, and I am so excited to have her back on. Of course, she's one of the top literary agents in New York City. You can't get higher than Irene, and I hope that you'll be coming, you know, to the program on Thursday at 11 o'clock and listening to Irene. And I'm always thrilled to have her back on my program. Meanwhile, just find your joy and share it, and have a wonderful few days. And tonight's karaoke night at the Miami Avenue Wine Bar, and that's in Indian Rocks Beach. So have fun, and go out there and sing and enjoy yourself. Bye-bye.